Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
He is the King of Glory, and that's why we're here today, to celebrate the King of Glory and allow Him to infiltrate our lives and to go before us and lead us and guide us. So today, thinking about hope, and I renamed Casey Hope. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not her name. I'm thinking about hope this morning, all about the hope of the new heaven and the new earth. And what does that mean for us right now? What does that mean for you today and how you can live that out? We're going to talk about that today in this new relationship that we're going to have with God in the new heaven and the new earth. But here's what I want. How does it apply today? Is how can you start that new relationship? How can you begin building into that new relationship this morning, tomorrow, and all the rest of the week? And really all the rest of the days of your life. Because we can have it. We can know the King of Glory intimately and personally now, not just in eternity. So let's stand and let's worship. I want to pray a blessing over us as we just continue to worship today. Lord God, thank you. Lord, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your hope that springs up inside of us through the power of your Holy Spirit by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we worship today, Lord, we are opening ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that you would just infiltrate us. Lord, that you would push aside the doubts. Lord, that you would answer those doubts. Lord, that you would push aside the strongholds, that you would crumble those. Lord, and that you would fill those with the confidence of your salvation, the confidence of your glory that you have in store, that you desire for each and every one of us. Let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Lord, we're so thankful today that we get to gather here. Lord, we're so thankful that we can open ourselves up to you without fear. Lord, knowing that you are going to fill us with goodness and mercy. Lord, you're not going to fill us with anything that is going to hurt us or be against us, because you are for us. Lord, and as we do that today, Lord, we want to begin to grow more in you and reflect more of you. Lord, to not just learn more about you, but to be more like you in the world and in our families, to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, Lord, to our enemies, to our neighbors, to our coworkers. Lord, that's how we grow the kingdom. Lord, is to show people how good you are. So, Lord, as you pour out your graciousness on us, Lord, as you provide for us, Lord, show us where you're moving. Lord, we just sang that you dance over us, even when we're unaware. Lord, show us how you are interacting with our lives. Lord, how you are moving in our lives, where we don't see it. And even if I disagree with how you're doing it, show it to me so I'll know it's you. Yes, Jesus. In the name, your powerful name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Just one more advertisement, announcement, invitation. The Epic of Eden, the study in Psalms, starts next Sunday evening. And so if you want to be a part of that, there's these flyers out there. They're on your little community bulletin. It's online. It's on the screens. It's everywhere. That starts next week. Tonight, everything else is starting as far as children's stuff and all the student ministries, Bible studies, leadership thing. Everything starts back tonight. Check out online if you want to find out more about that, or look in the hallways. There's flyers and all sorts of things out there that you can look at as well. Encourage you to get it plugged in somewhere, because here's what I know, and this is not just to get you at church, okay? You know that I want you to be here. I think there's value in you being here. There's also value in taking time with your family and being away somewhere every once in a while. I think last week or the week before, I said something about the reason why we're here and we're not out playing golf somewhere. Well, guess what? One of our church members was out playing golf that Sunday and was probably not very happy I said that. I don't mean you can't take a break. Amen? Okay, you can. Okay? I mean, you don't take a break from the Lord, but I mean, I like to go to the lake too every once in a while. I just wish somebody would invite me or give me a boat. Okay, I just, oh yeah, Larry's going to get me. That's true. I'm going to be in trouble. I'm always getting invited. But really, to be plugged in is the only way that you can be involved in community. People that always tell me, this is not an indictment, I'm the same way, we all do this in different organizations. Well, I just don't feel connected, or I really don't know anybody, or whatever. And I'm saying, well, what are you doing to get to know people? What are you doing to get plugged in? Well, we come to worship on Sunday. That ain't it. Because you're going to walk in, you're going to see a bunch of people, you're going to say hi, and then you're going to leave. Only in community do you get to know each other. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's how you get really plugged in around here as well. I'm going to tell you this because it just worked for me, but if you want the notes today, I think it's working again. The United States government has decided that we are a church once again, and we have our texting service back. I'm pretty sure it works, so you can try it. And you can get the notes for today in that as well. And so we're going to finish up today on New Heaven and New Earth, and about this idea of, are you curious about what happens when you die? Not just that there's a funeral, okay? Not just the logistics, but really, what happens to all of this, you know, when we die? What happens to our heart, our body, our mind, and our soul, and all those things? Today we're finishing up on this new relationship that we will have with God in the new heaven and the new earth. And I already said that you can begin this new relationship now, and I really mean that, but this idea of how does it work, well, I'm going to tell you once again, I know it's hard to believe, I keep having to convince you that I have never been to heaven, so I don't have a firsthand account. Okay, I don't know for sure. I know that Matthew means that, man, I ought to be a comedian. Matthew means that I am a gift from God to all of you. I get that, okay? But I've not been to heaven, and I don't have any recollection of what that is like if I've been there before, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. And so we're just going to take Scripture's word for it. I know there's lots of books out there. They may be true. They may have some truth in it. Some of them may be actually all true. I don't know. I've not been there. I know what Scripture says. That's all I can go on. So Revelation 21, 1 through 7, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about this new relationship. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, or there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first order of things has passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. The one who overcomes will inherit these things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Or I will be their God, and they will be my people." So, Lord, take your holy word today that you have given us. Lord, Lord, it's living. Lord, it is blessed. And it is for us. Lord, use it to transform us. Use it to know you, the creator of the universe. In Jesus' name, amen. So, new relationship, okay? So, in this new relationship, here's what we have to see. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. There'll be no more mourning, crying, death, or pain, right? He'll wipe away every tear from our eye. All the things. What this means is, in our new relationship with him, imperfection is gone. I don't know what that looks like, okay? I don't know how that works. But what we have to do is we have to work that out in our head. Because in the old, right, the old imperfect, Genesis 8:22 says that as long as, while the earth remains, day and night will not cease. Right, this whole cycle of life just keeps going on. As long as the earth remains, there is crying, there is death, there is mourning, there is pain. Right, the natural order of things that has been set in motion just continues on and on and on. Now, here's what worries me, and I think that Scripture speaks to this. We're not going to go into it today, but the farther we get from the perfection of the garden, the farther we get away from the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, the farther we get away from those historical, actual events that are divine, that are holy, the harder it is for us to remember them, and the harder it is for us to believe them. Because we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't live in it, we don't understand it if we're not looking for it in community on a constant day-to-day basis. There's a lot of things that you know how to do. Okay, I remember my grandmother, when she was in her early 60s, she died when I was about 7 or 8 years old, about 8 years old. And I remember I was going out to ride my bike. We called her Ma. And I'm like, "And Ma, would you come ride your bike with me?" And she said, "Oh, it's been so long, I don't know if I can remember how to do that anymore." Now, she knew how to ride a bike. Okay, but maybe, I don't know, had it been 20, 30 years? I don't know. I mean, they lived on a farm, and I don't know when the last time she had ridden a bike. I didn't ask that question. But I do know that as time goes on and we don't do certain things, right? I mean, I used to know how to water ski and jump the wake from one side to the other. Last time we went water skiing, I mean, I know I looked like that I was Evel Knievel on skis in my mind, but I know when I jumped that wake, I went about that high and I went about that far, right? I mean, I know how to do it, but I have forgotten because it's been so long since I've done it. And my body reminded me the next day how long it had been since I had done it. See, that's the same in our faith. When we don't exercise it, we don't practice it, when we don't work it out each and every day, as Jesus tells us to do, we forget. And we don't long for it anymore. We don't desire it anymore. And then at some point, it becomes hard to get back into that because those doubts start taking their place of faith. But the new is this. Isaiah 60:20 says, "Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord as your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning will be over." See, that's a new day. See, the old order of things, the way that nature's been set into motion day after day, those days are over. And that means that imperfection has to be dealt with. And so, I don't know what this perfect body looks like. I don't know what a perfect Lubbock, Texas looks like. I don't know what a perfect world looks like. But God does, because He started it that way. And in our fallen choices, we brought on this imperfection. So He's trying to restore us back in the new heaven and the new earth and that new relationship. Remember, Scripture tells us that He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He had conversations with them in the garden. He gave them instructions. He gave them tools. He gave them authority. He gave them power. Everything was perfect. He's going to get us back to that, and if He's going to do that, then imperfection has to be dealt with. Now listen to me. It's clear to me that God doesn't take us to a new cosmos. God doesn't take us to a new universe or some whatever it might be. Hey, can you put up the background? I don't know. I think it was the second song on Amazed. Maybe just put up the title slide of Amazed. That's got. Oh yeah, here we go. So, some people, I mean, I really believe this. I mean, especially if you see it on television, because that's where we get our ideas of heaven or out of books or whatever. Some of us think that when we die, we're going to this really, you may think this is really pretty or really silly, I don't know. But, you know, when you die and you go to heaven, that it looks maybe something like this. No, it's not a disembodied, swirling, glittery, whatever it is. It's a real place. Okay, you can take that off. I mean, no, wait, leave it on. I had this thought in my head too. Okay, I'm just going to show my age, and I think this is funny in my own head, so I'm going to share it. Okay, I mean, maybe if you're on the Starship Enterprise and you're traveling somewhere in the galaxy far, far away, maybe it looks like this. I'm not going to be with Captain Kirk in heaven, Maybe William Shatner, yes, but not Captain Kirk, okay? I'm not going to be on the Starship Enterprise. There's not going to be weird music and all that kind of stuff. It's a place. Okay, now you can take it down. Nobody thought that was nearly as funny as I did. And so it's usually the way it happens. And so it's just this new relationship. And if imperfection has to be dealt with, then it means that Paul says it like in Romans 8:21, creation itself will be set free from its bondage of decay and obtain the liberty and the glory of the children of God. That liberty and glory is the power of the resurrection. That liberty and glory is the power of the Holy Spirit, no longer living inside of us, but we are it with God. Remember, he says he wants to make us co-rulers. He's still in charge, right? But just like Adam and Eve in the garden, co-rulers, co-workers in the garden to restore us and to make us new. 2 Peter 3:13 puts it this way. It says, even though we really can't fathom perfection, I mean, we can make all sorts of assumptions and silly little jokes about what perfection looks like and what ocean view you want or mountain view you want or the perfect body and the perfect clothes and the perfect cars and, I mean, all those things. But look, we have a glimpse into this righteousness of perfection. He says, but according to his promises, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, that's a glimpse of the foundation of perfection. 100% righteousness, not self-righteousness, God's righteousness, where we get to live together in righteousness, where everything makes sense and where everything works perfectly, and we all we live together in harmony. There's no more of this other stuff. And here's the problem. I mean, somebody tell me amen if you agree. I just don't understand, and I can't fathom what that looks like. Everybody else can understand, it's just me. I mean, we just don't. I mean, obviously, there's not going to be a news channel because everything's going to be good. Amen? I mean, what is that? But listen, at our Tuesday morning Bible study, one of the men that was there in the group said that. That if we're going to live in perfection, if we're going to be in heaven, then all this other stuff has to go away. All this other stuff has to be dealt with. It says like this, then there's not going to be any more anger or injustice or selfishness or depression. Whatever the negatives, whatever the sinfulness, whatever the badness is, it's not going to be there. That's what we're headed for. That's what God's calling us to. It's actually going to be bizarrely perfect, and so much so that we can't even imagine it. But just because we can't imagine it doesn't mean we can't hope for it. Okay? I'm going to apologize to Casey one more time for renaming her. Because this is all I could think of all morning is hope. Why do we stop hoping because we can't imagine what it looks like on the other side of hope? Why do we stop believing? Why do we stop living into the promises? Why do we stop trying to get there just because we can't really fathom what it's going to be like? That's the last thing we should do. It's called a holy imagination. And it's beyond imagination because God makes it come true. He said, write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true. See, that's what we're going for. That's what we're looking for, new relationship. And here's the great thing. I mean, this is where it gets real, okay? We're no longer living by faith. We live by sight. Revelation 22:4. I don't think I'll put that one in there, but Revelation 22:4 says, we will see God's face. He's not hidden from us anymore. We'll actually see him. We'll know him. We're in 100% constant, physical, supernatural, divine, we're together relationship with God. God, that's fantastic. How's that going to work? I don't know. Are all the mysteries of the universe and of God going to be revealed? I've always thought that they would be. I've always said as soon as we get there, we're going to know everything. I don't know that that's necessarily true. Because in a relationship, aren't we growing with each other? in this relationship, as we said, we have a new body and we have new responsibilities. We have new focuses. We live in community with each other. Aren't there going to be new revelations as life goes on in heaven? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But still, it's not living out of my thought processes anymore. It's living out of reality. It's not living by faith and hope anymore. It's living by sight, right, and by facts. Here's what I can't wait about heaven, is to be able to, I don't know how this is going to work, it's my sick personality, is to, for all those people that doubted and all those people that said that can't be true, and for all those people that say your God's too small, and for, see, that's not true, and, well, all, you know, bad things happen to good people because there is no God, is to somehow get to heaven and turn around and go, na-na-na-na-boo-boo. Right? I told you. And here's the funny thing is, a lot of those are going to be Christians standing around me, and they're going to be doing the same thing to me. We're all going to be going, I told you so, I told you so. Jesus himself gave us a glimpse. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:6. I said, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, and we walk by faith, not by sight. See, we're not going to be at home in this body anymore. It's going to be a new body. It's going to be a resurrected body at some point. And so it's not by faith, it's by sight. And as we walk in this new body, as we live in this new body, what does righteousness look like? I think Jesus gave us another glimpse. I think actually Jesus gave us a lot of answers. He gave us a lot of hard facts about heaven and what it's going to be like and who we're going to be. And it comes out of Matthew, okay? I think that what it is not in this new relationship, it really is the definition of being blessed. It's the definition of blessedness. It's the definition of how God has created the new heaven and the new earth based on the garden that he created in the beginning. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. What does the poor in spirit mean? I wish y'all could have been in this Bible study over the last 8 weeks on Tuesday morning, because we went through all of these. See, that poor in spirit is just really meaning that we're so sad about sin and what it does to our relationship with God. Not being depressed or anxious or we have a deficit. No, it's just that idea of our shame, our hurt over sinfulness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We mourn for those that don't know God. We mourn for those that reject Jesus. We mourn for the lost. And yet, because we're trying and we're crying out and we want more and more people, remember what I always say, we're just trying to get to heaven, and I just want you to take as many people along with you as you can. And we stop, when we get there, we will be comforted in saying that we are here together. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Okay? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. How? Well, I've already told you. We're going to live in righteousness all the days of our lives. And if we hunger and thirst for righteousness now, we can begin to build that life in Jesus. Not self-righteous, but in God's righteousness. And we can usher that into other people's lives. We can inject that into other people's lives. Blessed are those are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. How many would you consider yourself merciful? Yeah. How is God merciful? He's one that forgives us, lets us in. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God and daughter. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all sorts of evil things against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's a look at heaven. There's a look at this new relationship. this understanding of who we're going to be there, these new bodies, a new heaven, a new earth, all things put into its right place, all things working according to God's will, all things perfected, all things the way that He created them to be in the very, very beginning. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that. Okay? Now then, here's the one thing I'm going to follow up with. And it was asked of me even today. And so, when somebody says, all things are going to be made new, all things are going to be good, all things are going to be wonderful, there's going to be perfection, and we're going to be in relationship with each other, we're going to be in community with each other, these bodies are perfected, and we have roles, and we have new focuses, and we have responsibilities, whatever all that's going to look like. I said, but what about, let me find it. I wrote it down. I just need to see where I wrote it. Isaiah 65, 17 through 19. But what about this? For behold, I created the new heavens and the earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. I say, Matt, you said that we're going to know each other. Well, how are we going to know each other if the former things don't come to mind? How are we going to know our families? How are we going to know our moms and our dads? How are we going to know if all dogs go to heaven, how are we going to know our dog and how's our dog going to know us, right? How are we going to How are we going to know? Here's my understanding of that passage of Scripture. All the former things, the former mean the things that were imperfect. The former are the things that really don't matter to us anymore. The former are the things, just like how Scripture even refers to a refiner's fire. When you put gold into a refinery, when you put gold ore out of the ground into a refinery, the gold does not go away. What goes away, what floats to the top, is what they call the dross, D-R-O-S-S, the impurities, the things that don't matter, the things you don't want, the things that make the gold impure and imperfect. And those things, the former things, get sloughed off and pushed away. So you have what's left is the pure, the good, the righteous. See, that's how we get to live in heaven. That's my understanding. It's not that we forget each other, okay? It's not that we forget the goodness and the mercy of our lives. It's not that we forget our relationships here. It's not that we, I don't even think it's that we forget the great, our great understandings of this world. I think it just means that it's the things that we don't need anymore. It's the things that are impure that get erased from our lives. And then, that's where the new relationship comes in. That's this new heaven and new earth and this understanding that we have. And so for us, all this means for each and every one of us today is that there's the new, you know, we have the intermediate heaven, we have the new heaven. We have this earth, and then we have a new earth. We have these bodies, and then we have new perfect resurrection bodies. We have a relationship with Christ now that is fully in us. God is in us 100%, but it is incomplete in the fact that we don't know Him the way that He wants us to know Him. We have that opportunity, and all that comes together in the new heaven and the new earth. Every bit of it. And so, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how, I even say it at funerals, and if you've been to any funeral that I've ever done, it seems like it's not a lot of comfort when I say, usually at the graveside, and I really reiterate time and time again, I buried my friend Don Bridgers a couple of weeks ago, and just literally said, as I do it to everyone, I put my hand on the casket and said, Don is not here. I don't know how it works. I don't understand how this takes place. I don't know what Don gets to see right now, but I know that it's the beginning of his new life, his new creation in Jesus Christ, that God has set before him, that his race has been won, that he kept his eye on the prize and he's obtained that prize, that he gets the crown that has been set before him in heaven, whatever that is. I don't know, but I just know what happened. That's all I can ever say. But we have to take comfort in that. We have to take be resolute in our belief and our faith, because the world wants to take that away from us. The world wants to say that you don't have that. The world wants to say that this is it. Get all that you can and be all you can here, because this is the end, right? That silliness that I know that you can't take it all with you, but it doesn't mean that you waste your life away, right? That you live your life to the fullest, but you live your life to the fullest in Christ Jesus. Each and every day, we pray for each other. We love on each other. We help each other. We go through this life with each other. We hold each other accountable, and we lift each other up, right? Everything we do should edify the body, should build us up. What are you going to do this week to proclaim the new heaven and the new earth in your life now? Remember, it's the now, but it's the not yet. It's breaking in. It's here. Some of it is here. And it may be that idea, remember we talked about all those different dimensions that we can't see and we can't understand. I don't know how that works either, but I'm just telling you, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. It wasn't just about him. It was about, it's here. Let's open our eyes to it. Let's open our hearts to it. Let's set ourselves aside for it. Let me pray for you. Lord, I'm excited about your word. When sometimes I think maybe it's just for me, a new understanding. And Father, it's not for later. Because I know that you work all things for the good of those who love you. So I know that you're going to take care of me when I die. And I know that you're going to take care of my family for generations when I die. But Lord, I'm thankful for the new glorious understanding today, that I can be excited about your love for me and all that you've already set in place for me. And all that you are doing for me, and I want to be able to share that with other people, because you're doing it for them too. Lord, give us your passion. Give us your power. Show us that we have what you have through the resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart for those that don't believe in you, first and foremost. But also, give us a heart for those that are out on the fringe, those that are on the edges of this life that we call Christianity, this life that we call the way to get to you. Because they're just missing out, and I don't want them to miss out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, give it to us, Lord. And all the people said, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go, getting ready for the faith on Monday that's going to carry you through. The power on Tuesday that's going to bring new revelation into the world through you in the name of Jesus Christ. And on Wednesday and Thursday and next week and in the weeks and months to come, not just for the world, but for you, your family, and all others around you. Be ready in the name of Jesus Christ. All the people say, amen. Amen. Hope to see you tonight, 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.